The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Please be seated. All right, this is your 5-day checkup. How are we coming on those Lenten disciplines? Well, if you're like me, as soon as you decide to give something up for 6 weeks, in my case, of course, it's always cookies, it seems to automatically increase in importance. And that's in spite of the fact that there's lots of viable substitutes, right? So why is it a constant temptation to give in? At our Ash Wednesday service in the morning, the one that we do for the school, I talked to the students about the reasons, about the importance of making a meaningful sacrifice in Lent. Now, I don't mean to say that cookies are meaningful to God, but they are to me. And anyway, I talked to the kids about giving something up that they like in order to be reminded that everything they have comes from God, and to remember that nothing in this world is as important as God's love for them. In other words, it was my usual Ash Wednesday homily for that audience, which ranged in age from 4 years old to 18. However, when I added that rather thinking in terms of giving up something to eat, I thought it would be much more meaningful if they gave up something they would really miss, like playing Minecraft or Fortnite for 6 weeks. I couldn't believe the moaning. I mean, especially the idea of giving up Fortnite. If you had walked in at that moment and heard all the wailing and complaining, you would have thought that I had canceled spring break, of all things. But what really got me was that the loudest groans came from this area right over here. That's the second and third graders, right? Yeah, second and third graders. Missing Fortnite. I don't think I convinced any of them to put down their devices or to give up their games for 40 days. And I understand that. I certainly understand how we become attached to certain things and think they're necessary, like our phones. I doubt I'd have any better luck in here convincing you to leave those at home when you go out at night, or not take them with you every place you go, put them down for a while and leave them alone. We're just too accustomed to having everything at our fingertips. And I guess that we also assume that we're a little too important to be unreachable at times. But whatever you're doing this Lent, my prayer is that Lent will be different, that Lent will feel different than our other church seasons. We will do our part in here. You should have already noticed that we changed to a penitential order. Our crosses are covered with purple veils. Our readings are more about preparation and waiting. Music is less celebratory, of course, no hallelujahs. And we spend more time in introspection and prayer. I say all the time, but I truly believe that the more intentional and serious we are about our observance of Lent, the more awesome and transforming our Easter will be. Because Lent is not an intellectual exercise. Lent is meant to be an experience. Yes, we have our Lenten devotionals and we encourage more time in prayer, but for me, the experience of Lent is what makes the difference. That's why we fast. That's why we put ashes on our heads. That's why we give up something or take up new disciplines. We want to experience Lent, not just read about it, so that our time of wilderness preparation will be all the more meaningful. Jesus certainly experienced his time in the wilderness, didn't he? And it came before his ministry actually began. Other than the pronouncement by John the Baptizer and God's confirming voice from heaven, Jesus had done nothing that would indicate that he was the Messiah, the one who comes to bring in the kingdom of God. Therefore, his desert experience was very much his primary formational time. Jesus is prepared for all that will come after by those 40 days in the desert. God did not send him up the mountain with an armful of scrolls to study scripture. God sent him to the wilderness in order to give him a foretaste of what was to come, to prepare him for how to stay faithful to God in a tempting and scary world. The desert was the first time that Jesus would have to make the hard choices that his ministry and his humanity would later demand. Particularly the challenges to his faithfulness to God and that the temptations of the world and the devil would constantly present. Challenges that he would have to meet time and time again during his ministry. Speaking of the devil and temptation, I recently saw a quote from Catholic theologian and author named John Shea. Shea said this: "Before you know you're the beloved, you can choose to do anything you want. After you know you're the beloved, there are only certain choices that you can make." True for Jesus and true for us. Being known and loved by God certainly gives us security and peace of mind, and it is a life-changing gift when we receive it. But when we understand and believe in our belovedness, then we are naturally compelled to share that gift and to live into that gift in such a way as to not have it go to waste. Knowing that we are chosen and blessed by God obliges us to do all we can to be deserving of that blessing. Knowing that we are blessed by God also makes it easier to live a more giving life. Things of the world become less important by comparison. Following our Lenten practices, resisting temptation to give in, not deciding that none of this really matters, is more easy to do when we keep in mind the great love that God has for us. Luke tells us that Jesus was confronted by three major temptations in the wilderness. And in each case, Jesus turned to Scripture, turned to God the Father for his answer. When offered all the bread that he could ever want to eat, tempting, of course, because there would not only be enough for him, but for him to share with others, Jesus refuses, saying, "One does not live by bread alone." In other words, even having everything in a material sense does not at all mean that you have the one thing that counts the most. As Miroslav Volf wrote, "When we live by bread alone, there's never enough bread. Because when we live by bread alone, We always want more and better bread. Don't be fooled when Satan makes wants sound like needs. Trust only in God. Next, Jesus is offered power. Power over others, power to be in control of things. What a temptation that would be for me. But Jesus answers, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And the thing is that power, even ultimate power, ultimately means nothing because we will never have power over death. Only God conquers death. And only faith in that God provides hope of eternal life and therefore no fear of death. Finally, Jesus is offered fame and glory, an opportunity to do something spectacular in front of everyone. But Jesus says, do not put God to the test. Worldly fame today means absolutely nothing in the next life. And I would add that being too busy for God today and assuming that we can ask for forgiveness tomorrow is putting God to the test. All you have is today. You haven't been given tomorrow yet. Therefore, give today to God. Wilderness experiences, temptations to do what we know is wrong are part of life. We can try willpower. We can undertake just to try harder. We can read all the cleverly written self-help books we can find, but success will be fleeting, if at all. The key to resisting the evil one is in where we turn for help. Do we try to hide our sins from God, or do we turn toward him? Do we keep telling ourselves that we can do it on our own? Or do we confide in a friend and ask for counsel and prayer? Jesus himself turned to God in the wilderness when faced with temptation. Obviously, we need to do the same. Because the point is not the fast. It's not about going without a certain food. The point of the fast is to remind us that God is the source of our true nourishment. It is God's holy word and God's grace that sustains and nourishes us always. Speaking of looking to God for meaning and direction in life, this year our theme for our Wednesday night Lenten series is who's in charge? Who's in charge? Meaning, of course, who or what drives what we do and how we spend our time. And we have an exciting slate of very interesting and well-known speakers lined up for you. Of course, none of them will actually be present here. They will be visiting us via YouTube on the big screen. And since your clergy did not give up any electronic devices for Lent, that should work pretty well again this year. Our speaker this Wednesday night is John Ortberg. John Ortberg is a well-known teacher, preacher, and author. Senior pastor of the very large Menlo Presbyterian Church in California, now known simply as Menlo Church. I think it has four or five campuses now. And Ortberg has written many books. I have a few on my shelves. I'm not sure I've actually read any of them. I buy them because Ortberg always thinks of the best titles. My favorite one is, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have Got to Get Out of the Boat. Great title. I don't know what the book says, but it's a great title. But I bring him up for a couple of reasons. The first being, of course, to remind and encourage you to put the next five Wednesday nights on your calendars. Soup is on at 6:30, plus we will enjoy the salads and side dishes that you all bring to add to that. But more to the point, Ortberg uses today's scripture, the scripture we read from Luke, as the underlying text for his presentation. And he talks about how busy and crammed full our lives are, and how because of that busyness, we have no time to nurture our relationship with God in a meaningful way. We simply do not have time. But Ortberg says the solution is easy. The solution is easy, and it's only one word. No. No. Because until you are willing to say no to some of that stuff in your lives, you will never have time for the most important relationship in your life. Your relationship with God in Christ. So I look forward to, that was a 2-minute summary of a 30-minute presentation. So you got much more to hear from him than just that. So please come. But in other words, in order to be able to feast on what God has for us, we must first fast. Fast from the things that keep us from him. And so as I do every year on the first Sunday of Lent, I worked on my list of things that I want to remove from my life, my fasting list, and also their counterpoints, the good habits that I hope will replace them, my feasting list. As I share my fast and feast list with you again this year, I hope that you will be inspired to come up with your own during your Lenten meditations. Well, I had it here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Fast from worrying about lapses in memory. Feast on the fun of hearing things for the first time again. And again. Fast from the need to always be in charge. Feast on seeing what God can do through others. Fast from being discouraged about life. Feast on God's promise of life everlasting. Fast from being too busy for my grandkids. Feast on sharing their joy of discovery. Fast from complaining about the state of the world. Feast on God's promise to always provide. I always have at least one that has to do with improving my driving habits. This year, fast from always controlling the music in the car. Feast on hearing the latest new and strange music of our kids. Finally, fast from grousing about being too young to retire. Feast on savoring every moment of every day.